Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. First day results of the Wheat Quality Council Tour suggests that the hard red winter wheat crop in northern and central Kansas may see a slightly reduced yield compared to a year ago. Crop scouts estimated the average yield for the first day of the tour at 34.3 bushels to an acre. Last year, the average yield estimate for the first day was 34.7 bushels an acre. The crop tour will release a final yield estimate for the Kansas wheat crop on Thursday afternoon. Meanwhile, Informa Economics yesterday trimmed its forecast for the U.S. winter wheat crop. Informa projected winter wheat production at 1.486 billion bushels, a decline of 12 million bushels from its previous forecast. Russia's agriculture ministry has proposed to slash the export duty on wheat more than a month before it was scheduled to expire. Late yesterday, the ministry said it wants to lower the minimum export duty to 1 euro a metric ton from the current level of 35 euro a ton. The export duty had been scheduled to expire on June the 30th. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,961. It's up 97 points. The NASDAQ, 4,415, up 8.25. The S&P 500 is 2,092, and it is up almost 9 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest is going to be faced with some rain and thunderstorm activity as we move forward through this next several day period, as everyone is already fully aware of. This morning, we have mostly quiet conditions in the Midwest, temperatures running in the 50s and 60s. There's quite a bit of fog around in the northern parts of the region, and the winds are relatively light, but it's balmy out there. Most of the Midwest seeing temperatures running mostly in the upper 50s and 60s. Even a couple of spots around the St. Louis area were reporting temperatures over 70 degrees shortly after dawn today. Rain was occurring mostly out in the western fringes of the Corn Belt, and that's where the most active weather is going to be for the next few days. We will expect that to work its way eastward, though, as time moves forward, and we'll likely see quite a bit of repetition in the rainfall across the western Corn Belt, in particular Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and parts of Illinois. These areas will end up with 7 day rain totals that will run from 1 to 3 inches, and some local totals over 4 inches. That's being split up by two storm systems that will impact those areas. The first one's underway now, will persist into Friday morning. We'll see the second event occur over the weekend, and hard red winter wheat country will likely see a lot of the heavier rains. Some of the wheat country there may suffer some potential for wet weather diseases to evolve, although I think drier weather will come around next week in time to protect that crop. In the southeastern corner of the country, we're going to see the driest bias, and that will likely be in Alabama, parts of Georgia, and northwestern Florida. Those areas probably won't see much precipitation at all. In the Midwest, eastern parts of the region in particular will probably see a little less rain intensity as we go forward through this next 5 to 7 day period. There will be showers and some thunderstorms scattering across the region, but the precipitation is going to be erratic and mostly light, at least into Saturday morning, and we'll likely see field progress continuing around the precipitation. Most of the totals that occur in those areas, especially Ohio, eastern Indiana, and Kentucky, maybe Michigan as well, will probably run from around 3/10 to around 9/10 of an inch, with some local totals getting up over an inch. And that's totaled by this time next week, so that's not nearly as heavy as some of the rains in the western Corn Belt. Illinois will see higher amounts, probably 1 to 2 inches, so will western portions of Indiana. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see a few 3-inch totals in parts of Illinois. Now, we're also going to see rain. We're work its way through the upper Midwest, portions of the Dakotas and Minnesota, and even into Manitoba. These areas have had the driest bias for months, and they will likely see some relief from the storm system, with 0.3 of an inch to an inch of rain likely, and some local totals maybe upwards to 1.5 inches. The most important part of the storm system for those areas is to keep in mind that they are not going to be in a trend change, that this rain event is just a temporary break in the pattern, and we're likely to see the dryness come back across those areas. Already, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and portions of the northwestern U.S. plains will be missed by this storm system, and they will see notable drying for a good week to 10 days, and some of those areas are already rather dry. The temperature bias across the Midwest over the next few days will continue to be balmy. We'll look for a lot of 70 and 80 degree highs occurring across the central and southern portions of the region. The northwestern part of the Corn Belt will gradually cool down as we get into the late week and the weekend coming up. Some high temperatures towards the first part of next week will be confined to the 50s and 60s in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. We'll see some of that cool air work its way into the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest during midweek next week. There is a chance for some frost and freezes in the Canada prairies and parts of Montana and western northern portions of North Dakota here late this week into the weekend, and some frost could work its way into the upper parts of the Midwest during early to midweek next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 4.96, up 5 3/4. Soft May, 4.64 1/4, up 1/4. May corn, 3.66, up 4 3/4. July, 3.65 3/4, up 3. December, 3.81 3/4, up 2 3/4. May soybeans, $10, up 6.5. July, 9.89 3/4, up 5. November, 9.61, up 6.5. May soybean meal, 3.19.50, up 1.40. May soybean oil, 32.98, up 10 cents. June live cattle, 150.82.5, down 62.5. May feeders, 214.45, down 92.5. And May lean hogs, 79.92.5, and they are up 92.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, overnight and into the trading session today, after seeing some probes to the lower side, we've seen corn and soybeans both regather and find strength and get above some short-term support levels. I probably part oversold, but we did hear that the Rosario port strike in Argentina has been called off too, so maybe that's part of soybean story.
Yeah, it might be part of the soybean story. I also think that the soybean oil purchase to China was a driving force as far as the fundamentals are concerned. And also, just looking at the market yesterday or this morning, the open interest figures for corn are up 22,554 contracts yesterday. Soybeans are up about 7,000. Wheat was up about 10K. When you see a market that's lower and closes positive, you have to assume that that's some new buying. So arguably, we've probably found a value level that somebody respects and wants to gain some ownership. So I think for the time being, we found that level, and we've got a little bit of upside potential brewing.
Is that commercial buying?
I would tend to think that it was, but it's hard to say for sure.
So we're getting a gift in a way. If you look at November soybeans, 9.61 1/4. The July is 9.89 3/4. December corn, 3.82, and the May at 3.66. Mm-hmm. At what level, if you've done nothing yet in marketing, do you say, okay, I need to start?
In the soybean complex, I can start from here on up. On the December corn, I'd probably be looking at that 3.95 as a target right this minute, and then I'm going to watch and see if the trade starts to run out of gas. If we get up to 3.85 or 3.90 and the thing starts to tail off a little bit, you know, I might trick a little bit. You can incrementalize it out and do some here and a little bit at higher prices. But this is a rally that we really want to be getting some done on if we haven't started already. If I get up to that 95 level in corn, I'm going to be fairly aggressive, and I can get up to that 970, 975 in beans, I'm probably get a little bit more aggressive as well.
And we have to begin to factor in what new crop ending stocks will be when we make those marketing decisions, and we'll get our first estimate from USDA next week on the WASDE report Ahead of that, what is your group thinking about potential ending stocks?
We're thinking probably in that 375 territory for beans, and we're trying to look at about a 1.6 to 1.8 in corn. We sent in our estimates yesterday and trying to get our collective thoughts around it. But I think realistically the most important thing here is to realize that yield is going to be the driving force for the market going forward. We may see some minor acreage changes, but yield is going to be the key. And right now we have to think that our yields are probably being trimmed just a little bit because a lot of this corn especially is going into the ground in less than optimal conditions.
Will world corn stocks be lower?
I tend to think so, but with yesterday's increase in Brazilian production, it's basically a coin toss for us.
All right. Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, May corn, 365, up 3.75. July, 365.5, up 2.75. September, 371.75, up 2.75. December, 381.5, up 2.5. May beans, $10, up 6.5. July, 989, up 4.25. November, 960.75, up 6.25. May soybean meal, 319.50, up 140. May soybean oil, 32.99, up 11. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana, 901 Central Time.